We are in the process of turning the page in New Jersey. Leaving us will be Governor Chris Christie, whose efforts to combat the opioid abuse epidemic have become a call to battle against the scourge that's attacking children, young adults, among others. Coming into the governor's office will be Democrat Phil Murphy, who has pledged to legalize marijuana in New Jersey in his first 100 days in office. Well, some say that's not really turning a page, but instead tossing the old book into the garbage and placing a new book on the shelf. Is legalizing marijuana creating social justice, as some claim? Is it a money grab by the state? Will it add to the problem of addiction in New Jersey? To start things off today, we're going to discuss all this with the CEO and Executive Director of the New Jersey Prevention Network, Diane Litterer. How are you today, Diane?
I'm very good, Chris. Thank you.
And the website for New Jersey Prevention Network is njpn.org, and we, of course, have a link to it over at our website as well. Your first reaction, I guess we can go back maybe around June this first came up in the gubernatorial debates. When you heard then-candidate Phil Murphy make that 100-day pledge to legalize marijuana in the state, what were your initial reactions?
Extremely disappointed. You know, we've been tracking this issue across the country, concerned that New Jersey may consider it, and extremely concerned that money is going to be taking over precedent rather than our youth and our community's health and wellness.
And there is certainly money in it. The state or the Murphy campaign estimated that it would be an influx of anywhere between $300 to $500 million. But there's a law firm, Brock Eichler, which specializes in medical law and they're pretty much hip to the mechanics of the business. And their estimate, and two of Brock Eichler's attorneys served on the Murphy advisory campaign on this issue, they're estimating the state could take in as much as $1 billion in revenue, basically through taxing legal marijuana. That would be the equal of more than a half percent increase in the sales tax, which that's one of the ways that the proponents are buffering it against the critics by saying that, well, it promotes social justice because there are too many people getting arrested for a nonviolent crime, and this would be a great economic boom to the state, which could then further treatment programs where, you know, both sound like theory to a lot of people rather than fact.
Yeah, and you know what? The income is only one piece to the puzzle. What we know from other legal drugs like alcohol and tobacco is for every dollar collected through taxes, the societal cost equals $10. So the actual end result is not in the positive. The social impact, the negative impacts that occur when we legalize the substance is very significant, and that needs to be put into the equation, not just the dollar sign of what's going to be coming in.
If this were to come to pass and make New Jersey the ninth state, there's eight other states plus the District of Columbia, Oregon, Colorado, California, Massachusetts, Nevada, Alaska, Maine, D.C., Washington State. They've all legalized marijuana with some restrictions. For example, Massachusetts, it's illegal to buy and sell marijuana. In some of the other states, it's legal. It's still illegal to smoke in public, and at least by conversation, similar restrictions would likely be imposed in New Jersey. But is that a fear too, Diane, that the legalization will be implemented before the details are figured out and hammered out and carved in stone?
Absolutely. And with other laws and regulations that states have considered, they normally reflect from all perspectives on the impact on other states. And what we're seeing in other states is an increase that have legalized increases in car crashes, doubled the numbers prior to legalization, increase in emergency room visits, increase in suicide rates related with marijuana. It goes on and on as to the impact that the legalizing occurs, increased youth. Use rates because of the availability. And so what, again, the challenge is that legalization brings in an industry that's sole purpose is to sell as much of their product as possible, which makes it much more available. And this, again, is a substance that is addictive. It has very much negative impact on our youth in particular when they use it with a developing brain. And even though it's going to be illegal for youth under 21, when it's legal, it's more available. And, you know, there's an industry that is misrepresenting the facts and the information that we know to be true about the substance. And it legal is, I think, another kind of key component is separating conversations about decriminalization and really reducing the criminal impact on people and individuals that use marijuana, that is a totally different conversation and different path than legalization. Legalization brings in an industry similar to the tobacco industry that spends millions and millions of dollars promoting and misrepresenting the benefits of its use and really negatively impacts the most disparate communities in our state. When you look at Colorado, there is more marijuana dispensaries in the state than there are McDonald's and Starbucks. People in Colorado, many people that voted for it, thinking that it was only about making sure our kids don't get arrested due to marijuana use, were horribly surprised when the reality is that our minority youth in Colorado, the arrest rates have increased. Because youth, the legalizing marijuana for those over 21, doesn't do anything to address the issues that our adolescents are experiencing and accessing illegally the use of marijuana.
Talking with Diane Litterer, who is the CEO and director of the New Jersey Prevention Network. NJPN.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. The addictive personality being what it is, the arguments, the studies have put out information and led people to believe that marijuana is a gateway drug. Basically, that means that sooner versus later for the addictive personality, the high won't be enough, so they move on to something else. In this state, obviously, the opioids would be the next step up. Is there more fact than fiction in that belief, or is that still something that needs to be determined?
No, there is definitely fact in regards to that. I mean, the terminology of a gateway drug has become kind of controversial, and it's because if you use marijuana, of course, many people use marijuana and does not become addicted or move forward, but many, many do. And so if you look at the other end, those that are using heroin or prescription drugs, at least half of them, if not more statistics, some say up to 90%, have actually started with using marijuana. And so that connection, that opening the door to that addictive behavior has definitely connections to other drug use later on. I think the other challenge with that discussion is that marijuana itself does cause significant negative impact on our youth in the developing brain, higher connections to schizophrenia and psychosis, much higher levels, percentage levels when they start using before 21 to addiction. If they're daily users, that addiction rate can go up as high as 50% in that population. So, you know, when you start talking about gateway drugs, it kind of implies that if you use marijuana, everything's fine. It's only if you go to that next step. And so the challenge that we have is educating our youth that and policymakers that are thinking that this is a good solution is that it really is going to be increasing the rates of addiction here in New Jersey.
You mentioned, too, before with the other states, how it was a ballot question that the citizens got to vote on. That's not the way it's going to work in New Jersey. This is just going to be a legislative effort, period, end of sentence.
Yes, and the good part about that and the reason that it hasn't passed legislatively is because legislators are responsible to learn all of the information. When you ask the public, they just know what they know. They know what they've heard. They want to believe what they believe. But legislators have a responsibility to all people that live in New Jersey, and so they're responsible to learn how this law is going to impact all of their residents, not just a small select few that want to be able to have it legal so that they can use it and so forth. And so it's really a responsibility of the legislators to learn about all of these negative impacts that the other states are experiencing. And so we have an opportunity to educate ourselves and then to educate our legislators about the concerns that we have of how this is going to negatively impact our youth. I think the other component is that many people have experience with marijuana from years ago when it was a vegetative, smoking a joint, kind of marijuana that was maybe 4% THC. You're talking today about products that have up to 99% THC levels. So the long-term impact and even the short-term impact of using marijuana with that high of THC, you know, is what's rolling out in all of these other states. and might be different than the personal experience many people have with marijuana from the day when they were growing up. And so, again, informing parents about that. About 50% of the marijuana sold in Colorado are actually in the edible forms, using oils and so forth that have this 99% THC and are much more available to our youth and even small children, as obvious by the high levels of poison control calls with youth in the states where it's legal.
And there's even cannabis gummies, which you've probably seen some email spam with that being addressed, already targeting the New Jersey market and hasn't even gone into play yet. We have to wrap things up now, but the it seems like Senator Nicholas Kateri, who is a Democrat from Union County in the U.S. Senate, has been leading the charge, and obviously he has the best ally he can have right now, the incoming governor. Have you or do you plan to be working with Senator Kateri and others in the legislature to indeed educate them and alert them to what the risks that they are creating should this legislation come to pass and the incoming governor signs it?
Yeah, absolutely. The public health professionals across the state are communicating with their legislators, and NJPN in particular. But there's also an organization called New Jersey RAMP, which is Responsible Approaches to Marijuana Policies, and you can go to nj-ramp.org. And that is an organization, a coalition that was formed to specifically do just that, is to educate our legislators about the significant concerns about legalization. And it represents many organizations across the state from all different perspectives, really concerned about Governor Murphy's consideration of this law.
She is the CEO and Executive Director of the New Jersey Prevention Network. Learn more about this issue and their work at njpn.org. Diane Litterer, thanks for the work that you're doing helping in that education process for everybody, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me.